And I'm Nicholas London.
And I'm Chris Watson. And you're listening to QP Talk in the Maritime.
Hey, guys. Welcome to the show. I'm Nick, and this is QP Talk in the Maritimes. Brother Chris Watson joining us, as always, the light of the show. Mr. Federation of Labor President Chris Watson, how are you tonight, sir?
I am doing excellent, and I'm so excited to be here. Not only is this our last show before the summer, but this is the last show underneath old format, and I'm excited. We got some great stuff coming up in the program. We've got a great interview coming up with QPPEI, healthcare workers over there. We just wrapped that up. Excellent. We've had rallies in support of library workers. It's been a busy, busy month.
Brother, you are not kidding. You know what? Yes, you had rallies. You have been on the go with the Federation of Labor. You have been phone call after phone call, email after email. Of course, the Blair Doucette camp, not all that far off. You are literally just a busy bee. I want to give a quick shout out to Jenny, who is a friend of the show, longtime listener, who just recently is going to begin doing work with QP New Brunswick. Super happy for, pumped right up. I just want to give that quick shout out. And of course, Chris, as always, you are just jam packed with stuff. What's been going on with you over the last couple of weeks, man?
Holy moly, where do we start? It seems every time we get a plan in place, something else seems to happen. we've been busy, speaking up for our postal workers. We've been busy speaking up for library workers. We've been busy speaking up for, our PSAC members and our management team, putting in requests for information for reallocation of funds. So it's been an extremely, extremely busy month. But one of the things you alluded to, the Blair Doucette Youth Summer Camp, is a go. We've exceeded our expectation. We said we needed a certain number in order to hold the camp, and we've surpassed that by at least 10. So,
wow,
huge. I am so excited. Like, this camp, and I'm going to explain to the kids when they get there, you're coming into a union camp for the summer, and you're thinking, oh, this is going to be boring. But this camp changes lives. So I am stoked that it's going to happen. We have some major planning ahead to do on that because we have to put together the education component. Thank you to the Canadian Labor Congress for doing that. I've agreed to facilitate there myself. I was asked which one I wanted to do. I jumped up and I said, I want to do the political action piece because who doesn't like political action? So it's going to be an extremely exciting camp, and I can't wait.
I think it's super exciting. I'm stoked for you. Obviously, we saw just the other day the QP New Brunswick released, I'm going to call it Iris Lloyd's agenda, the president of QP New Brunswick, because there is so much going on. And I would almost bet you're going to see Iris almost at every one, if not every one of those events. It's going to be crazy. I can't wait to see all this exciting stuff, all this activism, all this labor movement. Dude, come on. I know you're excited.
I'm excited anytime labor gets to come together, right? So when we're doing all these Pride events and Labor Day events and Blair Doucette camps and rallies for this and rallies for that, anytime we can get together, I get excited because when we get together, it's either it's for a cause, it's for something, right? We're not just getting together to have sodas and eat chips and hot dogs, right? We're getting together for a reason. So
right.
I get excited. I get filled with an energy that's unexplainable.
Oh, you're not going to get no argument from me. But listen, we have got a big show here. It is literally all about QPPEI's healthcare, the excitement behind that, the historic collective agreement, and of course, the ratification of just that. All done, all finished. I am excited, and our guest today, Cheryl, Chris, and Bobby are going to break it down for us. You tell me that you're not excited about that interview.
Of course I'm excited from the interview. We were in the interview. But, you know, you're saying ratification vote, so we got to give a couple shout-outs as well. QP1253 just ratified their collective agreement, so shout-out to them and those workers. And I'm trying to think, who else? What else have we been doing? I know they did theirs.
Well, let's see.
Well,
not that.
There's just,
Are you
there's
leaving
just so
me
much
on the hook?
No, there's just so much going on. It's hard to keep up, but
the fact
you know
that we're heading into summer, and usually things will still be pretty, I'll say medium, but we're still on a high from everything going on over the last few weeks. It's been crazy, man. It really has. It's been crazy.
Absolutely. And one of the things you can count on, right, for QP Talk here in the Maritimes is, you know, yes, we're not going to be doing shows, but we'll be at these events that
yes,
are going to
we
be
will.
Happening. So we'll be going Facebook Live, you know, we'll be doing some recording of some interviews, things like that. So you can still count on us to be at your events, and believe it, QP Talk in the Maritimes is going to be present. We're going to be active, and you're going to see us. So don't be afraid to come and approach us and say, hey, you know, I want to share something with you when you see us at these events. Because if not, like the labor movement, we're going to hunt you down and voluntarily to speak.
Yes, absolutely, brother. You are right. And really quick, guys, before we're going to take a quick break, and then, of course, the interview. The interview will be the end of the show. So what I do want to say is www.qptalk.ca, revamped, excited. This coming September, when there's a live show on first Tuesday of every month, it's going to be like QP Talk TV, because it's going to be live right on our website and everywhere else that you can have a webcast, YouTube, Facebook Live. But just want everyone to know that www.qptalk.ca is definitely your home to all things QP Talk in the Maritimes.
Now, I know, Nick, we got a lot to cover on this episode. And you had asked me earlier if we're going to say something, and I said, no, let's save it for September. But you know what? I just can't contain myself. Let's let the cat out of the bag. You know, when we're talking about our show getting revamped in September, you know, you have your segment Coast to Coast. We had reached out.
Which
to
I thought
somebody,
I did a great job.
Right? But we reached out to somebody very special, and they're on board, too, to help us with that Coast to Coast. And that's other than, you know, Brother Mark Hancock has agreed to assist us here on QP in the Maritimes and give us some coast-to-coast news on what's going on with QP National. So shout out to Brother Mark and his assistance with that. I really look forward to September's show, and I can't wait to see what the future holds for this program.
Yeah, all I'm saying, guys, is that first show is going to be jam-packed. Excited would be an understatement. Mark Hancock coming to QP Talk in the Maritimes as a regular, basically coast-to-coast rep. It's going to be great. It's going to be exciting. I don't know what else we can do, brother. We're rolling. If there was only an award out there for people like us.
Yeah, we'll be on the Golden Globes. Or not the Golden Globes. Sure. I don't know. One of them.
I'm okay
we'll
with
get you
Golden
an award.
Globes.
We'll get you on the Canadian Walk of Fame.
See, there you go. That's all I ever ask.
Right.
think that's fair.
And especially if it's keeping the Maritimes, it'll probably be up at the Fredericton Inn walkway, but still.
Oh, that would be great.
I'd be all right to be enshrined at the Fredericton Inn. That's another home
yeah.
away from home.
That's right. That's right. That's right. Okay. Well, let's take a quick break, and then let's get this interview rolling.
Nick, what's going on? Like, oh, hey, what's with the saw?
I'm here to help remove the tree.
What tree?
The big tree that fell in the house.
That's the tree that I talked about on QP Talk in the Maritimes?
Yeah, I called the boys, man. They're coming over to help me.
Oh,
we got you.
You have to call them and cancel that, because I've already been taken care of. That was 8 years ago.
Yeah, Higgins Insurance. They already took good care of me 8 years ago.
That's because there's a safety net for the unexpected.
Absolutely. They're there for when accidents happen. Call 506-849-7800. Pettengill Road, Quispam Sys. Higgins Insurance. They got you covered.
All right. Welcome, everyone. QP Talk here in the Maritimes. I'm Chris. Along with me, as always, is my co-host, Nick. Nick, how are you this evening?
I'm always good. Thank you for having me, Chris.
Absolutely. As you can see, we have some other guests here on the screen, our wonderful comrades over in QPPEI. Maybe we'll ask for a little introduction. Tell the folks who we are.
Bobby Kennedy, president for Local 805, and I represent healthcare workers on Prince Edward Island.
Chris Lewis. I'm the president of PP 1778 in Montague, representing healthcare workers.
Cheryl Keown, Local 805, and also I am the Health Council president, and I represent healthcare workers in PEI also.
So as you can see, we have healthcare workers here because we have something very, very exciting to share coming out of QPPEI. We have a very historic deal that was just struck. So this agreement, again, has been called historic. Can you share what makes it so significant for QP Healthcare members?
Well, this sort of a deal has been kind of lingering for a long time. The wages for support workers has really lagged in the number of years. And especially when COVID came on, that was a whole different bag of worms anyway. But anyway, it was a tougher negotiation this time. It was very drawn out and difficult. But what I'm so happy for is workers will actually get ahead of inflation and actually have some money in their pocket after this thing is signed and sealed and delivered. I'm very happy for all our classifications to actually get ahead, because it's been difficult. They've worked hard and they've been through a lot, and it's historic because it actually brings us up really well in the province and probably in the Maritimes, and hopefully it's good for other locals in the Maritimes too.
Well, I mean, it's certainly been, you know, it's long overdue, and there's no question about that. Everyone knows just how hard the healthcare system workers are, how hard they work, and everything they put into it. They're very vital. They're extremely important in every aspect, which brings me to, my next question about how did QP and the health PEI managed to build such a collaborative tone at the bargaining table, especially after some difficult, 5 years, really. How did you guys end up where you are?
Well, I mean, it kind of all started out. It wasn't all peaches and cream. Our collective agreement ended in March 31st of 2023. But our agreement before that, like, we kind of ratified it in June, and we ended up seeing our small increase, and then all of a sudden you see an inflation hit, like, and inflation was huge, and members are like, what are we going to do? But we just actually ratified a collective agreement, so we could, to backtrack, it was hard. And like, that's kind of what we tried to do with this agreement, was went in with a flat rate increase of $10 an hour over 3 years. And I think with Lori McKay, servicing rep, she was there, and we actually made a joke around the table, like, here's what our offer is, and we have a defibrillator on standby here, and the paramedics, and to the lawyer rep on the other side of the table. And but anyways, it was a strenuous battle. Like, they come in with an 11% increase, and then they come back at conciliation with 11.5, and for or lower classifications, like that would have meant like a $2.40 an hour raise, which over 3 years, which wouldn't even have touched what we were like what our members truly needed. So, you know, I will thank, and we went through like three different HR managers in the 2 years at the table. So like the table was forever changing. But I like a huge shout out to Ali, the new HR manager. She came on our last conciliation meeting, and it was really her in collaboration with Lori and Rose Best, like phenomenal, Janelle, our research, like that's what drove the message home. And I think she really pushed the envelope at the table at the Treasury Board, and that's how we ended up coming out with this. But it's, yeah, life-changing, right? So.
Yeah, now you had pointed one thing out, and it's scary to think about. Like when you said about inflation, about just signing that collective agreement, and then the inflation going so high that members, even though they just signed the collective agreement, were already scared and struggling having signed that contract. So I can completely understand why this contract is considered historic and significant for workers in Prince Edward Island. But what does this agreement mean for islanders who rely on the public health care system?
Well, we haven't seen a direct impact yet, but I am quite confident with our shortages and our vacancies and in our classifications that I'm sure that you will see that there'll probably be no problem filling those vacancies now because our wages are competitive, right? So, and, you know, these were always jobs when you started out, it was like, yeah, good luck getting permanent and good luck. And like now, like I've seen over the last 3 years where casuals are coming in and 1 month into the system, they're getting permanent jobs, and 2 months into the system, they're getting full-time jobs. And so you could really see from when I first started back in 2005 to now how much the wage has changed things, right? So you don't get that attraction of people wanting to come to work. We had people that would stay working casual because they get an extra 12% on their pay. Like, you know, now I am quite confident that these jobs will be filled without delay, right? So hopefully sooner than later, once they can post the new rates of pay on their job posting. So like it will ensure that our work will be there and that it will not make our healthcare system collapse.
That's a big thing, because that is the last thing we want is a collapse. You know, one of the things, and I know we still talk a lot about COVID-19 and stuff. So I do want to look at it from like everything that workers went through during COVID-19 with staffing shortages. What kind of an impact do you think this agreement will have on a moral and retention? I know you kind of hit on it, like with the higher wages, but like as far as the morale, you know, where do you think this goes from here?
Well, it's been a long time coming, and I'm just going to step back a bit. On October 17th, 2022, the government made agreements with three other unions, and all the healthcare council got together and just said, okay, enough, enough. So we just continued on with meetings and did a campaign on Leave No Healthcare Workers Behind. The members all got together, and on Fridays they wore the T-shirts. We had rallies. We had information meetings. And right there, the morale was down. It was just the people were quitting their jobs, and we weren't respected. We weren't recognized. We weren't noticed. It was almost like we didn't care that we were in the healthcare system. But now with this, from what I've seen in the last week, the morale is up. People are excited. These jobs are going to be going permanent. Now they don't have to worry about their wage. Like we had people working two or three jobs besides of what they had. And it's just so nice to see that members are happy again. and members are happy again, and they're very, very all, from what I've got, they're all, everybody's so proud of how the locals come together and made a difference in their lives.
Go ahead.
One of the things that I tell our members is, like, you know, being there and everybody, and you get those thank yous, and it's been a nonstop repetitive thank you and smiles, tears from on members' faces. And, like, I also, like, the one thing I tell them is thank you, because they're the ones that stood behind us. I, like, you know, I am a higher wage earner, and I have a higher classification of pay. And I mean, I'm just sitting there and I'm like, how could somebody be making $20.98 an hour, sit there for over two years without a collective agreement? And, you know, they're the ones that drove us, right? So they're the ones that pushed, and they had our backs. And, like, that's what I tell them is, you guys stuck it out with us. This is the reason why we're at where we're at today. So thank you to them.
Right. And you pointed something out, Cheryl, when you said you started this back in 2022, and your contract expired, I think, in 23. So this is something that's been in the works now for 3 years. And that's the hardest part sometimes, we want change, and we want, just like we always say, when do we want it? Now, right? But unfortunately, things don't always happen now. And, you know, it does take time to get to that point. And you're right, Bobby, when it comes to, like, the members and everything, and people getting behind all this different stuff, like, it takes, like, an entire membership in order to do it, right? We're only as strong as, the leaders can only do so much. But without the membership support behind you, that's what really makes the change. And it is as simple as something as wearing a T-shirt on a Friday, wearing a button, or whatever it may be. But ultimately, that little bit of collective action makes a bigger impact overall, as we're seeing right here. So when we're thinking about that sort of thing, what kind of message do you think this deal sends to workers who may have felt undervalued before?
Who's taking that one? I can answer that one. I mean, like Bobby said and Cheryl said, like, a lot of our workers who were slugging it through, making low wages and kept working and kept the hostels going all this time in the manors, it really hits home that they're valued and they're actually going to get a decent wage. It took a long time to get to this point, but I really think it's well worth it. And I can echo Bobby's sentiments when I had members come up to me and, they're so happy. And, it's been a long time coming. And thankfully, this has worked through and the deal is there. And it should set like support service workers up for quite some time.
One of the things that I do want to bring up is, I said on this show about 4 weeks ago, we had the QP PEI president, Ashley Clark, on this show, and we were discussing different issues that were going on with government over in Prince Edward Island. And I had said about, I challenged the government to do the right thing. And, I talked about how you're telling these people you're worth it, then show them that they're worth it. I can't live off of nothing. I wish I could, but, like, you can't live off nothing. Show me that I'm worth it. And it makes me so happy to see that you are, they see it. You're worth it, and you've got it. And that's what makes this so big, which brings me to the 10.5% wage increase over 3 years and the $5.50 an hour wage grid reset are big changes. How do these help address the competitiveness issue UP has raised in the past?
Well, it's been something that's been going on for a number of years, like getting certain classifications built. Like there's tradespeople and anyone with red seal, power engineers, stuff like that. It the private sector figured it out that they started paying, you know, more wages, and it was, there was a time when health BI was the place to go, and like the private sector wasn't making any money. And then if you got a job working in health BI, especially in the maintenance trades or anything like that, and you were fairly well set up, but it all kind of marched on by, and that anytime anything was posted, there was times where there was no applicants, so it left facilities hanging for a long time. Now I think with this deal being signed, when it gets signed, I mean we're agreed to it, it should really cinch up shortages and get positions filled, and hopefully like the recruitment and retaining. What's that, recruitment? Yeah, it's something that people are going to stay in their jobs and longer, and it's a good news story for workers, and it's a good news story for Health BI, because the system has to run. I know they have tons of problems, but I know this is one cog in the wheel that it should fix the problems at the moment.
I like that. I couldn't have said it any better myself. And that's amazing when we think about how we're going to have people in the jobs. Because, I mean, we don't want to see a turnaround rate. You know, we want to keep people in these positions, and we want to retain them. So, you know, when you have a high turnaround rate, that doesn't help the membership. It doesn't help, you know, the people that rely on the healthcare system. So it's really good to see that it's going, all these different things are going to be addressed, out of this sort of a deal. But thinking about all the essential work that healthcare workers do, so QP members, we know, do essential work behind the scenes, and everything from laundry to sterile processing. How does the agreement shed light on those less, we'll say, visible, but absolutely vital roles?
Well, I mean, I am a sterilization technician. That is what I do in the workplace. I mean, we are kind of unseen in the workplace. The laundry staff are unseen in the workplace. But just to bring it, like, it's, you know, everybody has an important role within what we do. If the rooms aren't cleaned properly, surgeries don't happen. Diseases and infections spread throughout the hospital. You know, like, if I'm not there to do my job, well, somebody's not getting operated on, right? So, like, you know, it's... These are roles that, you know, make the difference between, you know, life and death sometimes, right? So, you know, if we don't have our laundry workers there, there's no linen for people to sleep on. Like, it's, everybody plays that role, but, you know, people don't see the laundry workers like they might see somebody that works in environmental service or somebody that works in dietary that's out there. You know, we have our ward clerks that are admitting and discharging patients. Like, everybody has that role to play in the system. Like, so it's going to be a great thing. Like, you know, I can't wait to see again. I keep repeating myself about how this is going to affect our vacancy rates within Health PEI. And I'm just excited to see that. Hopefully it'll fix everything.
You know what, though? That's good that you're excited, because your members are excited.
Yeah.
And the public is excited. I am excited. Chris is excited. It is a big deal. It's huge. So your excitement is rubbing off on everyone. And that's a good thing. You know, of course, we do have to talk about, you know, how does the tentative agreement set the stage for the future? Because this was amazing. You know, future negotiations or policy goals within QPPEI that may be pursuing. You know, where do we go from here?
I think the deal like this really opens the door for the government or Health BI, whatever you want to call it, to kind of see the problems before they become a real mess. Because essentially, that's what was happening here. Like, the healthcare system, as far as in support services, was in tough shape with vacancies and stuff. So, as far as future, I guess since this has been kind of cracked open by QP Health, I mean, if flat rates are something that will actually boost other QP unions, locals, whatever, I think it's something that will be explored now since it's out there now. And I mean, it happened in New Brunswick and it happened here. So, I mean, that is really where the future lies. I mean, you can't let the thing erode. And I think Health BI finally realized that if they don't do something, it's the arse is going to fall out of the bucket. I can't say it any other way, but they did come through, and it was good. I was sitting down when this deal came across the table to us, because I was very shocked and happy all at the same time.
Can I, like, and I might just add to that, Chris, like, you know, seeing, like, again, that rate, right? Like, and a huge shout out to Local 1190 over in New Brunswick. You guys got the ball rolling with this, with these flat rate adjustments. And, you know, it played an integral role, basically, in what we were looking for at the table. And, yeah, so shout out to 1190 New Brunswick, QP New Brunswick as well.
Absolutely.
And that's one of the things I really like about the labor movement is, as you can see, QP Talking the Maritimes mascot here is joining me up at the table. But that's one of the things I like about the labor movement, right? Because, you know, what happened here, like in New Brunswick, flows over into Prince Edward Island, and what happens in Prince Edward Island could flow over to Nova Scotia, and what happens in Nova Scotia could go here. So that's one of the biggest things is, you know, the way we stick together in the labor movement and support each other ultimately has an effect, not only necessarily in this province, but over on the island, over in this area. So it's very important that, you know, the decisions and things that we make, ultimately, you know, you got to put a lot of thought into it because it's going to affect members everywhere. So, I mean, this has been huge. And like I said, we're excited. And just, you know, when a group gets a deal that's as significant as this, you can't help but be excited. You know, but we're getting near the end. But if Islanders watching this or listening to this on all of our major streaming platforms could take one thing away about the role QP members play in health in the healthcare system, what would you want that to be?
To show it has showed how strong support service workers have been through this whole collective agreement, the campaign, and it also shows that how strong members are when they come together and stick together, and it's the morale is brought back up. And I've said it all along, and it's we all matter in this. And as long as everybody sticks together and supports it, and that's what happened here. Members were the backbone of this, and it just, yeah, it's there's people, are, everybody's talking. And they're just so happy. We all deserve it.
Yeah, and just, you know, I think Islanders have to realize that we're not a cog in the wheel. Like when you take those cogs out of the wheel, the wheel's going to break down eventually. So right from the top, from doctors, nursing staff, everybody plays in a vital role. And I kind of touched on it earlier. Like if we don't do what we do, you know, services get shut down. So I'm glad, hopefully, that, you know, Islanders recognize that and that things end up, you know, on the right path for moving forward, sort of, so to speak.
Like back in April, when talks broke off and we went to the legislature, I know that the public was on side with QP because it seemed to drag on forever. And I think it probably will carry over. And now that they see that actually there's a deal here where we'll keep members working and help the system, it makes it better for everyone because the system has to run. And so that's my two cents on that.
Well, and the biggest thing for that is that it's just so important. It's needed. You know, it's great that the public can see the importance of the situation and, you know, fighting for your rights and fighting for, you know, some people like to think, well, they want it. No, they need it. There's a difference between want and need. You know, they needed this. This is going to help them. This is going to lift morale. This is going to make people excited. People want to succeed and move forward with their jobs. And I don't think you can dispute that, nor can you argue that. They deserve it. Brother Chris, did you have something you want to say?
Yeah. So, you know, when you're saying it with the public being on board and stuff, I mean, that's huge, right? As public service workers, that's at the end of the day, we need the public on our side. So, you know, to hear you had the public support is amazing. You know, sometimes we're seen as union workers, we're always seen as people out there holding picket signs and making noise. But, you know, if people stop and they start reading some of those picket signs and those things that we have, you know, there's sayings and things on those and giving the information. So we're not just out there saying, you know, we want to make noise. It's like, there's a reason why we're out here. Take a read and you know, notice what that says. So to hear you had such high public support is absolutely amazing.
Can I just say one quick thing?
And it's, yeah.
I got like I'd also like to go back and, you know, talk about when the strike happened in New Brunswick and how many people that affected and, you know, what the outcome of that was. And it was just one of the stories I'd heard about. I think it might have been Halloween or something. Then the schools were shut down. And what's a great thing for kids on Halloween day? They want to go to school and show all their friends their costumes. And, you know, I think it was Sandy and Fred were in the war room every day and trying to get ahead of the media. And that's one of the things that rolled out with Mr. I won't even call him Mr. Higgs, just call him Higgs. And then to hear that you guys fired back and it was like, no, bring your kids down to the picket lines. We want to see their costumes. We got treats for them. And like, that's how you shift and get the public behind you. Right. Mm-hmm. So we're not just greedy union workers. We're not like,
that's right.
We're here to uplift our public health system, whatever it may be. The public system is, we're the ones that keep it running. Right. So another huge shout out there to QP New Brunswick. You know,
great. And you know, we do the work that we do because we care, right? I mean, if your wages are stagnantly low and you know you can get better wages if you go to another, you know, institution and you go work somewhere else, you know, that's, for me, I've never considered that an option because I love what I do. I love working for the public, right? From the education system now as a school custodian, but I love what I do. Right. And let me, it wasn't because of the pay, that's for sure. So, you know, it takes a special kind of person to do the different work that we do. So it's, you know, when you talk about that, on our strike back in 2021, I remember that actually. I remember the education minister, Dominic Carty, sat in the legislature and he was trying to say that, that QP stole Halloween from the children. And, we said, absolutely not. And we said, Halloween is still a go. And that's when we said, come on down to the picket line. You'll see some familiar faces from your EAs and, your bus drivers and custodians in the school systems. And we got candy. So come down and celebrate it with us, right? It wasn't us that stole it. So, you know, you'll see government sometimes try to play that message and try to get the public against the workers or sometimes even try to put members against members. So it's nice when you can see people that can kind of see through that facade and obviously it was like that over there to have such high public support. So
now, I have to say that, Cheryl, Chris, Bobby, it's been such a pleasure to sit down and actually discuss this because when the headlines came out, you know, almost a week ago now, I was over the moon excited. And you know, Brother Chris was calling me, did you see that? Did you see it? Get it up, repost it. This is unbelievable. So, like, yes, you guys are on the island, and yes, we're here in New Brunswick, but I just want you to know that that feeling was so mutual that, you know, we could not only feel your excitement, but we were giving off those same vibes here with that joy. So, to the three of you, not only solidarity and so much love and respect for everything you do, but thank you for coming on this show to talk about this historic event. And we appreciate all three of you and everyone else over there so much.
Thank you for the thank you for the great comments. And, you know, it's always a pleasure to be, this is my second time doing on this show, and love every time I come on. And, you know, just great chatting with you guys. And anytime we have conversations, they're always great. But yeah, no, appreciate those comments so much. And thank you very much for having me here today.
Yes, thank you very much. I was an honor to be on here and talk about this and get to talk to everybody, and watch your show all the time, and it's phenomenal. Thank you for asking us to be here.
Well, yeah. We really appreciate it.
Oh, sorry. No, well, thanks for having us on. I mean, we appreciate it. We like spread the word, tell the story. This is a good news thing, and I hope it helps more locals in every province. So anyway, thank you again for having us.